Hey guys, so today I want to talk about a topic I talked about recently. It's about dealing with negative kind of inner thinking, inner thoughts. I suppose I was looking at this kind of topic as dealing with morning, you just feel like a depression, or you feel a bit of anxiety, or you just feel an obstacle, a block, like you feel so far from God. Come across some stuff recently that I have personally found really, really, really helpful to kind of augment that basic idea of that a lot of this kind of negative feeling comes from negative thinking. And it's not the way our Lord would have us think. It's definitely not modeling the mind of Christ. And as St. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, we have to take every thought captive to bring it under obedience to Christ. Almost every day, I'm like checking this at the moment. So here are our categories. Number one, all or nothing thinking. It's either this extreme or it's that extreme, but there's no, it's nothing in the middle. So for example, I did something today that I really didn't need to do and it didn't help me and I didn't get other stuff done. Okay, so I wasted time. So I then go, oh, I'm a waster. A waster is like this extreme definition, like everything about my identity is wasteful. Okay, that's not true. I have more nuance in there. I wasted some time today. Very, very different, much more realistic and much more compassionate and helpful. Because if I'm a waster, then wow, I should just give up hope and despair right now, right? Watch for the all or nothing thinking. Number two, overgeneralization. For example, you ask someone, you take the great risk of asking someone on a date and they say no. Okay, so that hurts. But then you jump to the conclusion of, I'm never going to get a date. No one's ever going to like me. I'm totally unlovable. It's like, no, it's just one person. And maybe there's piles of reasons. You know, maybe they're just having a bad day. Maybe I just need to, you know, I can just ask them again. I'll ask them another time. Or maybe it's like, okay, I'm just not their type. But that doesn't mean that I'm nobody's type, right? The next one, mental filter. This is particularly when we overly focus on the negative. You do an exam and afterwards you're like, oh no, oh my gosh, I messed up that question and that question and that question. And all you can think about is the questions you messed up. Paying no attention to the fact like I completely rocked one, way more of the questions than the ones I messed up, right? And sometimes we do this, we get stuck and focused on the negative and we're disconnected from reality a little bit and we're being really unkind and very, very discouraging. What's the positive that balances out the negative? Okay. The next one, number four, is actually quite connected to this one. It is disqualifying the positive. When somebody says something positive about you or to you, you just like, ah, I had an example of this morning. I was praying and I was just asking the Lord what he thought and felt about me. What was coming up was, you know, that he really likes me. The usual, he loves me a lot. He's really proud of me. He recognizes that I'm trying my best, even though I'm not doing everything perfectly right now. I am trying my best and that deeply, deeply pleases him. My heart was like, no. I wasn't able to receive the fact that regardless of the fact that I'm not doing everything perfectly, I am actually fully loved and accepted by God. Okay, number five, hope you're still with me. So jumping to conclusions comes in two parts. First one is mind reading, not actual mind reading, but a type of mind reading and a type of fortune telling. Okay, so mind reading, that would be, you know, I think that I can know what other people are thinking or feeling. You go to a party. You see someone laughing. I don't know if you've ever heard this. And you see someone laughing and you're like, oh my gosh, I bet they're laughing at me. I shouldn't have worn this. Why did I come? I think that I can know what people are thinking. I have no clue. No clue. I'm ascribing maybe motives. I'm like telling myself stories. And the issue here is that they are stories that are not real. They're not fair. Now, you can do this both ways. You could do it as I'm making stuff up about what they might be thinking or feeling. And it's a way that attacks me. I can know what God thinks and feels about me because he's told me very, very clearly through scripture and tradition. It's this like sense of impending doom. Oh, I just know something terrible is going to happen today. Really? Can you tell me how? What's it based on? Let's get scientific about this. Let's get realistic about it. The next one, magnification or minimization. You know when you have binoculars, right? And you look through them and then the thing far away comes like really big and really close. Or you turn them around. Have you ever looked backwards and it's like something really close becomes this tiny little thing? We can magnify, in one sense, especially when we're looking at our flaws. Oh, I really focus on a situation where I was afraid to talk to somebody, but I have to confront somebody, I'm really afraid, and I didn't do it. And then I just focus on that flaw. It's like the obsession with the negative, right? And we don't look at any of the positive. We're just fixated with the negative. Next one up, emotional reasoning. Okay, so this sometimes can be connected to a connected cause of procrastination. So I look at my desk. Now, my desk is usually pretty tidy. I look at my desk and let's say it's just stacked with stuff and piles and then there's stuff on the floor. And I look at my room and it just feels like it's going to be so much work. And I just can't do it. I'm like, oh, I feel overwhelmed. I feel discouraged. I feel whatever. Maybe it actually won't be that hard, but I feel it will be hard. My judgment on my course of action is based not on like clear thinking. It's based on a feeling. Then like months later, we finally get and clean the desk and we go, oh, actually, that was a piece of cake. Okie dokie. Number 8, shoulds and musts. Okay, now it's okay to be like, oh, jeepers, yeah, I've got this job to do. I must do that. It can be from a place of like, I'm trying to get myself to do something that I really don't want to do by shaming myself into doing it. Oh, I really must do that. It's almost like the voice of this, like maybe my parent from back in the day. Oh, you really have to do that. Oh, you should, you must. A lot of it has to do with a failure to accept ourselves and our humble weakness and littleness, which brings us nicely to 9, which is labeling or mislabeling. We can do this of ourselves or others. I mentioned this already. And often this will be the content of some of my negative thinking. Oh, I'm useless. Oh, you are a child of God and you are loved by God. God would never call you that. So if God wouldn't call you it, you shouldn't call yourself it either. Labeling others also leads to hostility, and it has to do with that kind of all or nothing thinking. You know, so I think, you know, someone did something horrible to me and I go, oh gosh, he's just so nasty. Okay, so I've now labeled him as a nasty person or a bad person or an evil person. Well, he did a nasty thing. Okay, last up, we have personalization. This is kind of like in some ways the worst, because this is where I let all of this stuff define me. Personalization actually can have to do with where I take responsibility for others' thoughts, opinions, feelings, even behaviors. And I take it personally as like, oh, they did such and such, therefore I am. So like a parent, the kid, you know, is struggling in school. So the parent's like, oh my gosh, I'm such a bad parent. Not necessarily. There might be things that you could work on, but there's probably loads of things you're really good at. What you can do is sort of, okay, how can I move forward on this? Rather than beating myself up and shaming myself and discouraging myself, because it doesn't define you. Yeah, my influence over somebody doesn't mean I have control over somebody. So I'm not responsible for someone's thinking, feeling, and acting. I hope that's helpful. I realize I didn't really go into the kind of answering these things, answering this negative thinking. Maybe at some point, if that's needed, I could do another video on that, a little bit more detail. But I found this to be hugely helpful. Hugely helpful. Game changer. It's just the gospel. It's just reality. And it's just like the compassion and love of our Lord. What would he say to my super negative self-hating thinking? He would say something really beautiful and positive. And so you can invite him into that process of, okay, how do I answer this? You could even have our Lord, like, imagine what he would say. It's like, no, you're not a loser. You are never a loser. I died to save you. You are worth more than the universe. And I love you very much. I'm like, well, that's nice to hear that, isn't it? And it answers the craziness. Anyway, so a couple ideas around that. I hope that's helpful. God bless you.